Penis.
What's up, people, and welcome to the first episode of the Big Caddy podcast. Spoke big a little potty, bit too. Huh? Should we just commit Big Potty?
Big Potty. Big Potty. That should be your nickname, at least. Big Potty.
Can I get the classic Ruppy like rewind for a second? Hey guys, welcome to episode number one of the Big Caddy Podcast. Okay, that's the name, Big Caddy Podcast.
Big Caddy.
Episode one here. Co-host, my name is Reg. Andrew.
My name is Ruppy. Andrew is my first name, but better known as Ruppy. I mean, it's not even worth it calling me Andrew. No one calls me Andrew.
So and we need to Ruppy. Establish it. We need to establish it.
Yeah.
Reg, yeah. Ruppy. That's how Reg it's going to be.
Yeah.
Reg and Ruppy. And basically, little background about my golf experience. Where to begin?
Where do we begin? Where do we begin?
It's actually kind of sad because I've had clubs for pretty much my whole life.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
No, really? You just thing. Never like, used them?
Well, I use them, but I was playing like maybe four times a year for a long really? Time.
Before yep. like the last maybe, when did you pick it up? Like really start to try it? Like 5 years-ish ago?
Do you remember actually we went to Golf Galaxy, shout out Golf Galaxy, not sponsored, but just a big plug there for them. But on clearance, I got Cleveland clubs, like a pretty decent set. And you were there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, about you get there. 5 years ago.
It was like they had like black heads, right? Or like yes. dark metal yes. heads.
Yes.
Shout out black heads also.
Yeah. Also good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. So basically my experience was like very casual golfer for a long time. Never took it serious. Barely kept score. And then we'll say probably about 5 years ago is when I started taking it seriously. I was probably like a solid like 120 to 130 range golfer for a while. Mm. Kind of found my range in the last few years. I'm now more of like a 106 to 110 and I've broken 100 one time in my life. Course record for myself, 96 at Hillview.
Wow. That's your only time? You broke I knew you broke 100 one time, but I didn't know it was 96. Usually people yep. break 100 for the first time, they're like teetering on a putt to make it like on 18, like have to make the putt to shoot 99. So you shattered the expectations.
Well, and you know Hillview better than anyone, but the way that it ends is pretty easy, right?
Yeah, yeah, the back nine's cake, the par's 33.
Exactly. Yeah. So like I knew in my head, like we weren't saying like, you know, you're on pace for it, but you don't say it. But in my head, right. I absolutely knew what I needed to do. And I just went in there and like parred 3 out of the last 4 holes, absolutely crushed it.
Shout out 17th hole. Should be a par 3, but it's a par 4. Should be a hard par 3. Hard, yes. hard par 3, but it's an easy par 4.
The fact that 16 is a par 3 and then 17 is a par 4 kind of doesn't really make sense.
They're the same length. It's just the hill up or down. The tee boxes and the greens are just doing a 69 situation with each other like little ass to head. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But what about yourself?
I have been playing golf a significant portion of my life. Golf's been a big part of my life. I probably started playing golf when I was 5, as long as I can remember. Maybe not 5, but like sub 10 years old, you know, probably 7 or 8, whatever it was. But have just like grown up playing golf my entire life. Eventually went to high school, obviously. Shout out Wilmington High, shout out Wildcats. And I decided to play golf in high school, which wasn't a popular decision because, as I think you would attest, Reg, I was a sneaky athlete. I was a solid athlete. Like, and to play golf was like, you know, I don't know if I would. I probably could have played on the varsity soccer team. Might not have played like been like a good starter or something, but like I played golf instead. I probably would have rode the bench and come off the bench. Whatever. Beside the point.
Yeah.
Played golf, committed to being pretty decent at golf. And I was the I have varsity all 4 years. Eventually played number one spot like my junior and senior year. Was like the team MVP, I think, my senior, junior and senior year, maybe. Not that that really means anything, because at Wilmington High, it's like Division III high school golf, whatever. It's nothing that impressive, but I was probably at my best down to like a 6.5 handicap. Shout out Hillview Golf Course that Reg broke 100 at. I was, I believe, a two-time club champion there, which was pretty cool. Yeah. Did I ever tell you the story of winning the club championship there? It was maybe the littest golf experience I've had.
I don't think so. Enlighten us.
So there was this – all right. So at the club championship at Hillview, it was like – all people who work there mostly, because who the fuck else plays Hillview Golf Course? You know what I mean? Like, it's a municipal course in North Reading. It's not really like, for anybody who doesn't know Hillview Golf Course, it's a shitty municipal course. But if you play it all the time, you love it. You fall in love with it. It's your classic muni. So I had worked at Hillview for like 6 years, doing greens, picking up range balls, doing everything you could do. That's where I learned to play. So Hillview is like, I know at like the top of my, you know what. And so I'm playing in the club championship. It's all people I know and worked with at Hillview. And except this one kid who just shows up. He was the classic type of kid who just showed up at a course and tried to play in their club championship and win it. Because if you won a club championship, you got to go to like another qualifying tournament, like a subsequent tournament. This, but you also had to have your handicap out of a certain, out of a course to play in the club championship. So this kid had 15 handicap cards where he would just go around and be like, oh, I'm a member here. Or like, I have my handicap here, 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 here. And he'd play in all these club championships. So no one knew this kid that showed up. It's a 2-day tournament. I show up. I didn't play too good the first day, but I played pretty well the second day. And like at the end of the 36 holes, stroke play, no handicap, me and this kid are tied. I forget what it was. Like, I think I might have shot like 76, 77 or something, 2 days, like whatever it was, but we were tied. And so me and this stranger kid, we play the first hole at Hillview, par 5, about 460 maybe. You have to go out about probably 310 to a dog leg left, and it goes into the green. I hit an iron off the tee. I get out there. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we go to tee off, and everybody who we knew who worked at Hillview was watching us, spectating. They'd already finished up. So like they literally followed us out the hole, and like we had a crew watching us walk out the hole, like, you know, you see on TV with like,
oh yeah, I love like that.
Marching up the fairway.
That's the
we dream. Had that in a municipal setting. So what happened was, long story short, I'm on in regulation. I have a putt for birdie, and this kid has like, he shanked it around, and I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna win this thing. But this kid had like a 60 footer left for bogey. Like, he was hacking around, whatever. He had like a 60 footer left for bogey. I'm like, all right, if he two putts this, I can like three putt to win or tie or whatever the fuck it was. Kid buries a 60 footer for putt or for bogey. And I'm like, oh shit. So now I like have to two putt, and I two putt and one, but this kid buries this wicked long putt. And all of a sudden my knees lock up, and I'm like, like knock kneed nervous. Like, no, I have to two putt. And then two putt. And like everybody I know, all the kids I work with, like storm the green. We're like, yeah, it was sick.
That is sick. I don't think I knew that.
One of my cooler golf memories.
I feel like that kid had absolutely no business hitting that putt, even though he was obviously a very good player. Nah. If it was actually like a 60-foot putt, that was the luckiest goddamn putt of his entire life. Guaranteed.
It was. It absolutely was. Because he also knew that there was a crew standing out on the green.
Yeah.
All rooting for me. Like, you know, you get to know the kid over the couple days, and he learned that everybody who played in the tournament worked there. So like he knew they're all there, like rooting for me. So fuck him. Fuck him.
Dude, two-time club champ. Who would have thought? We got a two-time club champion on the pod. That's great. I also have
played. You see this? Right there. That flag. Number one golf course in the world, Royal County Down. Boink, boink, boink. Ranks number one, number two, Augusta, golf.com. Check it out. Rankings. Played it.
See, this is going to be the the great part about this podcast is you know a lot about golf. You've played at a ton of different courses, and I'm like the complete opposite. Like, yeah. This is the dynamic we have. Like, I suck at golf. I've played like locally, still trying to get better, but like, you've been there, you've done that. That's why I like this dynamic. Two different, completely different perspectives.
That's right. Completely different. I like that. Also, just relating to the big caddy title of the podcast, I was your big caddy one time. I caddied for Reg one time. Played one of the best rounds he's ever had, right? Having a caddy, sick.
Yes. There was just that one blow-up hole that I had, but I think I played very good from there on out. Playing with a caddy, absolute game changer.
Golf is meant to be played with a caddy. You know what?
Right.
You need a, like, life. You should have a caddy, like a life caddy. You just be better. Just a guy to give you advice.
We need more caddy. I mean, I get like the average Joe goes out there. They probably, I mean, maybe they don't deserve a caddy, but like, I've never even been to a course that like offers that. Or like, do you just bring your own caddy to any course?
It's tough because remember when I caddied for you?
Yeah.
It was a liability. We called and asked like, oh, can this kid bring a caddy? And they were like, nah. Can't bring a caddy.
It was a liability thing.
Liability. I was like, dude, I'll pay greens fees. Plenty of money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll pay the greens fees and wipe your liability out. And they're like, no, don't even buy that. Don't even show up. But that's also classic, like, fucking Massachusetts garbage. Massachusetts doesn't know how to play golf.
It is. But speaking of caddy, so really the purpose of this podcast, kind of twofold. One, I just wanted to talk about golf. And then two, this is actually presented by Pocket Caddy, which is a golf idea that I had probably almost like a year ago, I want to say at this point. And it's something that I personally thought was a really good idea. And I started looking into it more and I was working on the design over summer and I had like all this prototype like created and everything. So, you know,
what is it?
All right. So Pocket Caddy is the name. So that implies, you know, caddying. To me, that's like an organizational thing. They take care of all of it for you. So in your pocket, in my personal playing of golf, I always had tees everywhere, golf balls everywhere. The ball marker was lost down there. Like, it was just a complete mess in my pocket, basically. And it was just to the point where I would approach a tee. Maybe it went from a par 5 to a par 3. I like to bring out the short tee. Couldn't even find it. I'm on the green looking like an idiot. Can't get my ball marker to the point where I haven't used my own ball marker in probably 80% of golf that I've played. I'm always like, dude, who has a ball marker? So the idea was I need something that can organize all of these things in my pocket. And that was the idea for Pocket Caddy. So it's basically a wallet is what the design is. On the inside, you have all your tees lined up. And on the right side, you have actually a functional wallet, so you can bring your cash, your ID, your debit card, your credit card, all those things, the ball markers attached to it. So it really just brings everything together in one place. And I was like, dude, that's got to be a genius idea.
Yeah. Shout out Pocket Caddy. I mean,
And I know you're on the fence on it. Not going
to
lie.
I'm on the fence. You're going to have to convince me on the Pocket Caddy because whenever I play golf, I don't necessarily feel like my pockets are a black hole. But if there is people out there that believe that it is, then it definitely is. Like, if you feel that way, there's definitely other people just like you. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely people like that. So
I agree.
You got to grind. You got to grind. You got to shout. You got to get what you want, brother.
Right. And I know I asked you, I asked a few other people. Some people felt very strongly that it wasn't a good idea, but I talked to people who were absolutely all in on buying it to the point where I went into a couple Facebook groups. That's like all things golf in Georgia, South Carolina, all these places. I got a survey going. I think I got about 50 people on the survey and it was kind of like an even split. Like a bunch of people were like, love this idea. When you get it, send me one. And some people were like, I don't get it.
Yeah. So
it's just one of those things, but there's obviously a market for it because there are people who are like, I like that. I understand that.
There's
buy that.
For everything. Market for everything. If you build it, they will come. Is that a saying? Right?
That it they say that. They said that in a movie one time.
That's right.
So that's what Pocket Caddy is.
So you're just gonna have to give me a Pocket Caddy to convince me.
You're going to be on there's a short list of people who I need to test it.
Yeah.
You're on that short list.
Yeah, I got to be a tester. I'm also going to need one just to be convinced, you know, whether it just be for a test. Maybe I use it and it totally pivots me. And I go, this is fucking sick. I need this. There's no, I don't know how I play golf for 20 years without this thing. That should be your goal.
That is my goal. It to me, just like something clicked, and maybe it's something with more amateur players. So if you're an amateur player out there, like think to yourself, like what, where do you keep all these things? Like, you know, you go to your cart and some people have tees over here. Some people keep their tees in their bag. Where's your wallet? Some people don't even bring their wallet. But like, to me, this just like, if it's comfortable and slim fitting and you don't even notice it in your pocket, then I think it's a great idea.
Absolutely.
So that's Pocket Caddy for the people. And this pod is basically under that umbrella. So this is the official podcast of Pocket Caddy.
Big Caddy, the official podcast of the Pocket Caddy.
The Pocket Caddy. Ba-da-da, ba-da-da. All right. So you want to get into the main topic here?
Yeah. Let's let it fly. What do you got for me?
All right. So this is, you know, this is what it's going to kind of be like. We're not going to, you know, I don't want this to be like I'm pushing Pocket Caddy every single episode. That is absolutely not the intent. I want to talk about golf for the casual golfer, just like you're going out with your boys, nice and relaxing, easygoing, lighthearted. Nothing That's what like we strive for.
Yeah. Nothing like golf with the boys.
And there you go. And, you know, that goes right into it. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to call this segment, I was thinking about it, wasn't 100% sure. I'm going to say green jacket. It's the green jacket segment. And that is basically, we're going to do kind of like a power rankings. And it's going to be a draft of our top four things of this certain topic. It's basically like you're giving out a green jacket to a certain four things here.
Four things.
And so it's going to be, you only get four choices and it's going to be a draft. So if I take yours, you take mine. We can't use that same one.
Wow. Okay. So we're picking a collective four out of each of us, or we're picking eight total.
Oh, eight total. I get four. Eight total. You get four. Okay. And then, you know, I'll probably make a post as well. And it's like, who had the best four?
Okay. But we can't pick the same four is what you're saying.
Correct. Any of them cannot be the same.
Ooh, okay. I'm a sucker for the green jacket. I love the majors. Not the majors. I love the Masters.
Right? The majors.
I will go to Augusta National Country Golf Course before I die. I don't care if
I believe it. Am
senile and 80 years old and they have to drag me out of there. Just like, I'll just run on there and I will be there. Like,
well,
I hope it's to see the Masters, but if it's not and I just need to run out there like nude one time when I'm senile, fuck it. I'm going to do it because I will step foot on the grounds.
Let's make a bet. Like right now, like if you're like 80 and I'm also 80 because we're the same age, like I will, you know, also just completely sack the body to make sure that you get on there.
Dude, thanks.
So life bet right now, you're going to be at the Masters at some point. People playing golf, maybe not. It could be at any time during the day, at any given point throughout our lives.
I'm in. I will be there. So it's a good bet. It's a good bet.
Okay. All right. So green jacket. Who are you going to give a green jacket to? The topic is the four best parts of golf. I wanted to start with something that's just, it's vague. I know, I understand it's very vague, but I wanted to just start with something just very basic, just the four best parts of golf. And it could be literally anything. Like I have a couple things on my list that maybe you didn't even think of, but, and it's all personal too. You never know.
Yeah, it's very personal. Okay, so I want you. Can you go first? Because give me another second to think. You go first, and I just want to see at least where your brain's at. I can.
Okay, so you're gonna give me first pick in the draft. Should we do snake where you get two?
No, I want you to go first if you want. Or if you
want me to go. No, that's fine. I'll go. I'll go first. But I'm saying, do you get two picks in a row?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll snake it out.
This is tough. So the top four best parts of golf.
Yeah. You go first.
I'm going to go with winning a scramble tournament with the bros.
Ooh.
There's just something like when you're winning a scramble tournament, which means you're probably shooting like 12 under and just the vibes are just extremely high. You are through the fucking roof.
Yeah. So you How many like scrambles have you won? Knowing that you've been in the game for not too long, have you dominated scrambles or not?
So we won at the Plant Open.
We dominated the Plant Open.
We dominated the Plant
Open. Bodied the Plant Open. Shout out, Miles.
That was sick. I also won the Reg Open with Malone, Dan Keen, and Alex Danis. Shout out to those guys. So I do have a Reg Open ring. Just real quick, the Reg Open is something I organize twice a year. About 6-7 teams, 4-man scramble. It's fucking fun as shit.
Shout out Timmy the Terrier. Jimmy the Bulldog. If you're
you
listening.
Know who you are.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good one. Also, sidebar, when you're playing in a scramble tournament, what big question mark on what to do? Certain people like to get bombed. Like, obviously, vibes go through the fucking roof when you're drinking and playing golf and like having fun. What do you go? Do you kind of stay a little grounded, have a few beers, keep it casual, or do you get shit faced when you're playing scrambles?
I kind of go with the vibe. The last time that we did a scramble tournament at the Reg Open, I think I only had like 2 or 3 drinks. I feel like our whole team actually was pretty sober, but there's definitely been times where I understand my role, which is not the lead guy. So I definitely will have a couple 2-3 more than I usually would. A
couple 3-4 beers.
You got to know your role. Like, you're the guy. If you're the guy and you get bombed and we tank, dude, that's on you.
Yeah, but I also like, I don't necessarily like getting super drunk when I play golf just because I like having like 2 beers in me because I get relaxed enough where like I can swing a club loose and I don't care.
A little more
mentally.
Than that. 18 holes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure. Constant 2 in my system. How's that?
Okay.
I haven't pissed out a beer yet, but yeah, at least get like your brain loosened up a little. And I get shit faced. It's over. Also, weed is legal in Massachusetts. We're from Massachusetts. I can't smoke weed when I'm playing golf.
I chunk it. I miss the ball.
Nah, can't do it. But some people love that too. That, also, reiterate, weed is legal in Massachusetts. We live in Massachusetts.
That's a good point too. Because there are some people, like I play with people who do that all the time and they love it. They have no problem playing the game. Like they're like locked in if anything. And then, you know, there's some idiots who are in the freaking clouds and you're like, dude, what, you're just here for a joyride in the cart. Come on.
Right.
Shout out to him.
Exactly. Okay. Right,
your pick. 2 picks.
My 2 picks. Top 4 best parts of golf. I would say, shout out this podcast, having a caddy is my... I'm in no particular order, okay? I'm just going what pops into my head, but I'm going to think of what's some of the best aspects. Having a caddy is one of my favorite aspects of golf. Totally changes the game. Don't have to worry about your clubs. When I went and played Royal County Down, played a bunch of different courses in Scotland and Ireland, we took a caddy every time. And these guys learn your game within the first 2 or 3 holes, and you'll ask for a club, and they'll be like, no. Why don't you take this one? And they'll give you a different club and it'll be spot on. Like, they know exactly what they're doing. So having a caddy, a professional, I know I caddied for you and I'm sure I helped you a little bit, but a professional caddy who does it at a world-class golf course, who does it for a living, blows me out of the water. So that's my, at least in my top 4. Another one of mine is... best parts of golf. That's tough, man. I would say the classic, just flushing a drive, just pounding a drive right down the middle.
Like, I had that on my list.
Yeah. Like there's, I don't know if that goes hand in hand. I'm sure like, I don't want to split hairs and say like, you know, making a putt, like, because like those must be the same things to some degree.
No. I think those are completely different in my eyes.
Okay.
Completely different.
All right. I would say I would take smashing a drive down the middle then. Smashing a drive with a baby draw right down the fucking gut is my number 2. Like, you just know, like, I nutted on that.
Yes. I just carried 260. with the bounce, give me 300 on the bounce.
I just mashed that ball.
Yeah, that was on my list. I feel like that's on everyone's list. Everyone knows that feeling.
So it keeps you coming back.
Exactly. Fucking right. Yep. All right. So I got two coming up.
Yep.
And this one, whatever you want to say about it, you can, but Tiger Woods.
Wow.
Tiger Woods. Like the sport. Wow. How different is the sport when Mr. Tiger Woods is out there playing and fucking competing with the boys?
That's a really
good nothing. One. There's nothing like it. There's That's really nothing one. Like it. The Masters he won, what was that, 2018 when he won it? Recently,
2019 maybe.
Was it 2019? Like
whatever.
Yeah. There's just never a moment greater than that when you're watching it on TV, and everyone just gets like 100 times more excited. Yep. There on the TV, like wherever you are, you get fucking jacked up. Tiger Woods, greatest of all time, could be with the greatest athlete of all time. Mm-hmm. He is absolutely a part of golf, and in my opinion, one of the best parts of golf.
Top four, in your opinion, and I agree with that. I think that's a great call.
And that's, speaks to how I was looking at this question. Like, it could literally be anything.
Yep. Yep. See, hearing you say that is going to maybe take my brain to a different spot, because I was like thinking about playing golf, but.
Because there's another one out there that I think you're going to take now. I'm going to leave it to you. And I get the last pick. So if you don't take it, I'm going to take it. But
take whatever you got, dude. No,
I got another one.
You get two now. And oh, yeah, because you only started with one. You're right.
Yep. So I got another one. This one's a little kind of personal for me, because it's just something that I do every now and then if I'm feeling myself. So you basically pull up to a tee box. Either you have like a freshly cracked drink, or maybe you top it off, you finish it, then you get up, you got a stogie, probably a Black and Mild, because that's what we roll with. Put the Black and Mild in your mouth, go up to the tee box. You don't take the stogie out at all. You keep it in your mouth the entire time, line up your drive, and you just fucking pipe one down the middle, and you just feel like Jesus.
So stogie in mouth driving.
But then before that, you just like finished your drink. Walked up, you're probably feeling a little buzzed at this point, stogie in mouth, and everyone's like, what is this guy doing? And you just pipe one, and you're like, yeah, fucking right.
That's sick. I like that.
I've done that like 2 times in my life.
Dude, maybe, you should do it more. It's in your top 4 favorite things. Like, do it all the time.
Well, no, because you have to hit the drive well. That's the problem.
Oh, that's so the kick.
I've probably shanked it many a times.
It's an awful assembled list of things that need to go right to have a favorite thing, but I like that.
I have done it, and when it happens, it's fucking phenomenal.
Yep. I like that. All right. I'm going to say this again. I don't know if this is in any particular order, like I've said before. I love a good head cover. Good head covers. Head cover game is real. We're like, you see people with just stock head covers, tailor-made head covers. Like,
I like that.
It wears out quick. A nice head cover is solid. Like,
I know Rick has Yoda has one of his. And every time I just see it, I'm like, that's fucking cool, man.
Yeah, like, why don't I have a nice head cover? I recently am head cover. I'm in the head cover game. Buddha, Sean, and Shirelli, head cover guys. I love that about them. Shout out those guys also. Head covers, sick. You got to have nice head covers. Okay, that's that. I'm going to kind of finish my list out by, I think, kind of dipping my toe into the conversation we were having right before this.
Top four best
parts of golf, Augusta National.
Exactly. I was fucking waiting for you to say that. If you didn't take it, I was going to take it from you.
Yep.
Fucking right on.
Augusta National, when the Masters, no, even if you're not a golf fan, you watch the Masters. I'm sorry. They talk about the Masters on ESPN. They talk about it on every sports channel. The Masters slaps. The Masters is different than any other golf outing or any other golf event, golf course, the class and quality it brings out of people, the historic nature to it. There's nothing like it. So my pick is Augusta / the Masters, like just the whole aura of Augusta / the Masters. Oh man, I love Augusta.
That's why when I said Tiger Woods, I was like, okay, I think that's going to trigger what you were just talking about before that. your big fucking Augusta. I love it. I get it. And I love it. That's a phenomenal pick. Has to be on the list. Like Tiger Woods and the Masters, if they weren't on the list, I think we missed out.
Yeah. Yep. No, I like that. So what do you got to round it out?
All right. Cause I got a couple ones here. So I gotta choose. I'm going to go with, and again, like this is like, for me, like golf is such a different animal because this doesn't happen often to me, but when it does, it just, like you said, keeps me coming back. So I'm going to go with hitting the ball exactly how you drew it up in your head.
Ooh.
It's just because that, you know, that's almost every golf shot. You're analyzing it. You're thinking about, you know, maybe it's a dog leg left. I have to do this to stay on this side of it, stay away from the bunkers. Like,
yep.
When you just like go up to it and you're like, okay, this is what I'm doing. Even if it's like a more difficult shot too, and it's, you just like astound yourself when you hit it perfectly. Yep. And you're like, that's why I keep coming back.
When you just do it, when you're like, oh, I need to do this. And then you just do it. No, I'm with you. It doesn't happen often, but when you do it, you do it. And that's why they keep coming back. That's why that's how golf keeps you coming back, is because it's a game of chasing perfection. You chase perfection and you're never perfect, ever. If you were perfect, you wouldn't come back, right?
If you were perfect, you'd shoot an 18 and you would max out your score and you'd be done. Call it a day.
Right. And you would not come back because you'd be like, well, I can't do better than that. I already did it. I did it. I beat it. You know?
No. Dude, we talked about this a little while ago, and this could be like its own topic too. I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but we literally were saying we probably have a similar mindset to Tiger Woods. Like he always... Even though he'll go out there and shoot like a 62, he'll always be like, but I could have done this a little differently. I could have shot better. Like every time you go out there, you can always think of like 10 different shots that you could have done better.
Right.
You always can do better.
It came up when we were talking about my brother. My brother's a plus handicap.
He's plus
one handicap. And someone made a comment to him like, oh, like I wish golf was, you know, I bet you have so much fun playing golf. And he was like, I have probably just as much fun playing golf as you do, meaning like just expectations, your expectations change. And you like, you know, he expects to be where he needs to be at a greater percentage than you or I might expect to be where we need to be. Or like hitting those shots exactly how you draw them up happen more frequently for him than you or I. You know what I mean?
I agree. All right. Well, that's the four. So I'll just go through it real quick. So with the first pick, I went with winning a scramble tournament with the bros, all-time vibe. And then Ruppy came back-to-back picks. He said, having our professional caddy and also just fucking piping a drive. Jamming it down the middle, I believe is what he said.
Yes.
And then after that, I came back. I said Tiger Woods. And also in this order, drink, stogie, bomb drive. Has to happen. All three in that sequence, same thing. And then you came back, cool ass head cover. That slaps. I'm all into that. And then the aura of the Masters /
the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail. And then
taking it home. Hit the ball exactly how you drew it up. Right? That's
money.
That's money. I think those are actually 8 great picks. And obviously, we probably could have kept going for a million different ones, but that's 8
good parts of golf. 8 good parts of golf.
Yeah. And I think just to your point about, you know, piping a good drive, hitting a putt. When you drain a putt, like say what that kid did at the beginning of your story, hits a 60-foot putt. When you hit anything beyond like 25, that's just nuts. And that is a very cool part of golf.
Sick. Very true.
All right. Real quick. Just want to do a little current events thing here. So Tom Brady, football player, also pretty decent golfer.
Yes.
He just threw his 600th touchdown. You saw that Mike Evans gave the ball away. People were speculating that that ball was worth $500,000. Tom Brady got it back. That's fine. But what I wanted to do was just name a couple items in the golf world and just see how much you think it's worth.
How much I think it's worth.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the list that you're about to say for the record also.
Yes. Just
so everybody knows that. Also, backing up about 2 seconds to the Tom Brady thing. Tom Brady gave the guy a Bitcoin.
Oh yeah, you hear that? No, he gave the guy
Bitcoin. Like that's solid, but like that ball's worth a half milli.
Oh no, he got season tickets for the rest of this year, season tickets for next year. He got a signed Mike Evans jersey, signed, I'm pretty sure, game worn cleats, Tom Brady signed jersey, and he got the Bitcoin. So that's actually pretty solid.
I thought they just like flicked him a Bitcoin, like bleak for your troubles. Like I didn't know he got all that other stuff. All right, never mind.
He's good. Okay. Don't worry about him. He's good.
Still not equal to half a milli, but whatever. He was happy. I'm happy.
First one, Arnold Palmer, Masters Tournament trophy.
Like one that he won.
Yeah.
How much is that worth?
Yep.
What year?
Ooh, good question. Don't have it.
Just a generic Arnold Palmer year that he won.
Yep. Fire it off.
1.2 million.
444,000.
Okay.
How about a Phil Mickelson autographed match used shirt?
If I'm buying it, or you, or the general public?
No, these are sold items. These are
Phil Mickelson's valued. My hero. So I don't have enough money to bid on that. But just game worn collared shirt. Just that's it.
Autographed as well. No, he autographed it.
$600.
$9,300.
What?
Yeah.
Like almost for a 10 grand. Sweaty polo?
Sweaty polo autographed Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that makes sense. Phil Mickelson's a G. I respect that. It was probably another lefty that was bidding on it. Shout out lefties.
And the last one here will go Tiger Woods 1996 autographed rookie card. So it's a sports card. Little fucking rectangle autographed made out of cardboard. Rookie
card. Oh my God. Based on hearing that shirt, and I know sports cards are back hot right now, I believe is something I heard recently. I would say $3,000.
$1.3 million.
What?
Yep.
Dude. Wild. What?
The market does not add up. A rookie card. That
doesn't make sense at all.
It's I think it's crazy. Just the Tiger Woods effect of it could be anything, and it's probably over 500,000.
I wonder what one of his used condoms goes for.
All right.
Anyways,
well, any final thoughts for the people?
Nah, nothing off the top. But happy to be here. Happy to be doing this. Happy to shoot the breeze about golf. Definitely want to look forward to some other good topics in the middle of the segment. That was good. I liked coming up with those things. I know you sent me the list before, and I truthfully didn't look at it until right before we did this. So I think I like that. I think I want to be surprised and have to come up with them off the cuff, but I like you having something that you can come up with to give me, you know what
okay.
I mean?
Like, hey, that's up like to you. That. I'll send the notes. You do whatever you want.
I like that. I like being organic, like off the top, because I think I came up with some pretty good things off the top. But
I think so too. I didn't know if you were going to come prepared or not, and I know you know the game of golf, so you nailed it. You did it. Congratulations, buddy. You did it.
Shout out, Bayberry.
Shout out, Bayberry. All right. Well, that is the Big Caddy Podcast. Episode one is in the bank. You can check us out basically any major platform. That should be Spotify, Apple, anywhere you get your podcasting needs. You can find us. That is Big Caddy Podcast, presented by Pocket Caddy. And we'll see you next time.
Hit them straight.